You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And welcome to another episode of Post-Conference Presser for Anfield Index. Another massive week, another press conference, a million things that Jurgen Klopp talked about, a million things that Jurgen Klopp answered and gave us some good, largely good, I'll call it that, injury news. So we'll talk through that, ladies and gents. I'm your normal host, Dave Davis, coming to you from somewhere different, but that's not really right for your business because there's GDPR rules. But I'll talk to you about what Jurgen Klopp said. I'll talk to you about the clues we got from the Sparta battering the other night. I'll talk to you about my thoughts on United threats. Now, it seems an oxymoron for many of you, but there we go. I'll talk about my thoughts in the lineup and my predicted score and scoreline ahead of an FA Cup tie. So let's get into it, ladies and gents. Jurgen Klopp was asked many questions. So the first one's really worth calling out is about the Europa draw. Because if anyone's missed it, the Europa draw was done earlier today. And he was asked, what do you think about the tie? He said, it's tricky. Atalanta, we played them before. Not that I watched them hundreds of times since, but it's the same manager. It's the same structure. So I know they're uncomfortable to play against and very well organised. It's a quarterfinal. Didn't expect any easy opponents. And I'm really looking forward to it. Have a lot of respect for what Atalanta do, and let's see what we can do. Yeah, for those who haven't seen it, we have been drawn against Atalanta. The first leg will be played at home. We were the second sort of pairing out, if you want. The best news about it, I think as well, if you look at the draw, you couldn't really have asked for much better. Atalanta would have been one of the ones you picked, maybe not your first choice, but from what we know about them, Gasperini, very attacking, very almost an un-Italian side in the way they play. We know some of their players. We've long been linked with Coop Miners, haven't we, as well? But so a team that suits us, I would say, very much. We've got history against. You think back to that time we played them last in the Champions League and Diogo Jota got the hat-trick, didn't he? Away from home. I think we're happy with that. And also we're happy with the next stages because with the draw, they draw it into the who you'll play in the semi-final. So we will face either if we, you know, manage to vanquish Atalanta, we will face Benfica or Marseille in the semi-final. Again, not too unhappy with that. I think if you look at who we maybe wanted to avoid, people want to avoid West Ham just because, you know, English clubs almost seems a bit boring at times like this if it's not a big one. And at the same time, Rome, for obvious reasons. And we, you know, because we've seen what's happened with the Brighton fan and we know our history. So let's leave that one there. So yeah, overall, the European draw, very happy with that. He was also asked about Joe Gomez and, you know, started laughing. Are you happy for Joe Gomez? I'll come to this because I think the laugh betrayed something. Yeah, I don't think I had a lot of influence in it. And the reason he said that was because he was, and I kind of missed this out at the start, was asked about what you said to Gareth Southgate, like, Gareth, come on. Said, I don't think I had a lot of influence in it. I wasn't necessarily that, eh? Joey deserves it, absolutely. What a season he plays. So far, it's been absolutely exceptional. We definitely won't be where we are with the kid, without the kids, and definitely won't be where we are without Joey. And he's played so many different positions. I saw in his face, he's very happy about it as well. So it's good news. And let's play the game. And he can go there and hopefully come back healthy. I think his laugh betrayed everything in that regard that he's personally feeling against what he feels for the player. Because there's a contradiction to this. He loves Joe Gomez. Understandably, think of all the positions he's played. Think about what he's done this season. Largely brilliant in, you know, left back, right back. Christ, even number six, centre half, wherever he's played. So he has the affection for Joe Gomez, understandably, in his attitude. He understandably thinks about his injuries and he wants him to have that. It's understandable. Joe Gomez is, he's a London lad, let's be honest. England will mean a lot to him, as, you know, Klopp was saying, happy about it. It really will probably have pained him a bit to be out the scene, as it were, for so long. Regardless if it's related to Ben White or not, no one really cares that much, I don't think. But it's a real sense of pride, you can tell, for Joe Gomez. So there's positives for the player, largely, in that regard. Here's all the negatives, as Jurgen Klopp knows. Joe Gomez's body isn't the most robust. He's had injuries, let's put it that way. This just increases the risk. Normally, international breaks, he's had rest, which I think has really probably helped him in recent times as well. Additionally, he has injuries on bloody international duty. In fact, if you look at him, he's usually got his worst injuries on international duty as well, especially that serious knee injury where people debate if he's ever fully recovered from until now. So there's that. Also, there's just international duty, England, all the thing that entails. So there are genuine concerns with this, let's be completely honest. So, yeah, it's positive for the player. I don't think it's a good thing for Liverpool by any means. I think Jurgen Klopp knows that. It's just the fingers crossed. Well done to Joe Gomez, but please come back healthy and safe. Then the other couple of questions were around injuries, ladies and gents. So I was first asked by, and good questions to be fair, James Pearce about Salah, Konate and Clark. He said, yeah, Mo is definitely ready. Ibu didn't train today, but we'll see tomorrow. It's probably a tight race, but one he'll probably lose. Bobby Clark felt much better. Was uncomfortable. He had a knock there. We worried it was maybe more serious with the swelling, but it's not. Ryan has trained again today, so he's ready as well as some others after the international break. This was the start of overall positive news. I know people are going to be saying about Konate. I understand that completely. That, you know, there was always a chance, and Klopp had talked before, they expected him to be ready for this one. I understand that. But it's Ibu. We know he never, it's just a simple injury. There's always something. Maybe more surprised that, you know, it's going back of our old history in that first leg. He came out for the second half, but here we are. And actually, if he's going to miss games, at least it's cup rather than league. I think that plays a part as well. But let's look at the positives. Salah all fine after 90 minutes. Bobby Clark all fine, which is great. Ryan Gravenberch, as we saw him the other day, back in full training, fully expected to be on the bench, I think you'd fair to say. Well, people may have different predictions, but great that it's another body and option, another midfielder back in the squad. So that is good news. And then James Pearce also asked a good question about Brighton after the break. Any, you know, we're around for that, which I liked. We should be, you know, it's not just about being nice questions. It's the right ones to ask, whatever people think. Said, yeah, Curtis, I think. Diogo and Trent for the week after, I think there's a chance. Stefan is now in his pre-season to make him ready. In the moment, he feels ready. It's not injuries, but intensity. So we have to make sure we don't use him if he's not ready. His body wasn't 100% ready for the intensity, let's say like that, the professional football is asking for. It's a long time to improve that, and hopefully he'll be part of team training after the international break. Really good news there, isn't it? I mean, Curtis Jones expected to be back for Brighton. Diogo and Trent, I think Jota, we worried it was a lot longer, but Diogo and Trent expected back, or hoped a chance, I should use that word, for the week after. I think that's largely positive. You think about where we are now, and Mr. Boslai, Salah back. If you were saying for the next league game, you're also throwing Curtis Jones and Ryan Gravenberch into the mix, that midfield, that squad looks a hell of a lot stronger, doesn't it? Especially as how well the kids have done and things like that. But yeah, really positive injury news. I mean, the badge thing, great question to ask. So I'm mixed on this. People are getting really excited on social media, and I see that. I get that, so to speak. I'd be surprised if he plays before the end of the season. It's great throwing him in. It's his pre-season now. This is the most intense period of the season. This is not a get ready, get prepared area, or, you know, you can give him a bit like at the start of the season. Everything matters now. We know that. Maybe, and then I'm saying maybe, if he is back in team training, it might need something like, and this is proper jumping ahead as before anyone jumps down my throat on this, it might need something like, if we win the first leg convincingly, there's options and minutes there in the second leg. But it's going to be so hard to get him up to speed, isn't it? So I'm not expecting anything at all before the start of the season. However, end of the season. However, we'll see. We will see. But positive news, and those were the main questions and answers for Jurgen Klopp. Now, as we do, moving on to the last game and the Sparta Clues, an absolute hiding we gave them. 6-1 on the back of a 5-1 victory, 11-2 on aggregate. Goal scorers, assist galore. Nunes with the opener, Bobby Clark, Mo Salah, Cody Gakpo gets two. Dominic Szoboszlai scores that. In fact, it's weird that he scored in the 55th minute and there was nothing till then. Well, that was it. Done for the goal scoring, which was strange. Mo Salah with a hat-trick of assists. Harvey Elliott with one. I mean, honest thoughts. It was almost...
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
There's a dead rubber and then there's an incinerated rubber, wasn't there? I mean, we absolutely battered them. Why, oh why, they went so open and played the style they did against Liverpool at Anfield, no, they got caught, is anyone's guess. I think the commentators talking about why the player's doing this. They're obviously doing it under the manager's instruction. Absolute suicide, as it were. But there we go. We also talk about people playing their way in and out, don't we, ladies and gents? I mean, there's things to take into consideration. I don't think it was the plan necessarily for Szoboszlai, and definitely not the plan for Salah to play the full 90 minutes, as Jurgen Klopp admitted, due to Bobby Clark's knock. However, as you also said, Salah just didn't press. It was a walking pace. It was almost like a testimonial for the last 10, 15 minutes. So you wouldn't expect anyone to restrain themselves that way. More interested, though, is maybe who played 90 and who didn't. I mean, Robbo played 90, which I'll come to in the later section. I think that's important. Bit of a surprise for many to see VVD get on. But Jarrell Kwanzaa, maybe with this weekend in mind, plays a part. Conor Bradley paid 90, which surprised, I think, quite a few as well. But yeah, we'll come to this in my selected lineup of what I think it will be. Not that it will be guaranteed to be correct by any means. However, there is a lot to consider. I think that's the big thing, though. A hammer in. No one was really exerted completely, but on to the next round. And then, as we do, ladies and gents, we always talk about the threats of the other team, the opposition. It's them down the East Lancs Road. Been a right weird team this season, haven't they, United under Seven Hag and what they've done. I mean, they're 6 points off fifth place. They've won 15, but they've lost 11. Really is win or lose. It kind of is. It's team defunct, so it relies on individual brilliance quite often, or late goals, stuff like that. So they can do that occasionally. That's been proven. But they lose a lot of games. They concede a lot of goals. I mean, the weirdest thing is, don't score that many either. They've, in the league, scored 39, conceded 39, a zero goal difference mentally. Jurgen Klopp does normal things. He's going to be respectful, said, you know, they've got a lot of quality, and mentioned it was came up. They are the only team to stop us scoring at home. Maybe it just feels that's the result that could haunt us at the end of the season, despite the VAR stuff and what people said, that 0-0 when we had, I think, 34 shots against United and they were celebrating like they won the World Cup. That will maybe live long in the memory, but who knows, for all the wrong reasons. Things to think about. We talk about their threats. This is a massive game for them. It's their only chance for trophy. It's their arch rivals come into their home ground. They won't want to be embarrassed. This is also the marker for the first of two ties because we got them in the league as well. They'll be wanting to win this, make no doubt about it. They are a threat in that regard, even just to leave things on players, as we know as well. Goals-wise, I mean, as much as we mock them, Hojlund started to score a few now. He's on 13, isn't he? Bruno and McTominay on 8. There is a few goals. They're not as prolific as us by any means, don't get me wrong, but Hodgson's expected to be fit for this as well. Harry Maguire's expected to be fit, which may be the best team news we got for this, realistically, as well. It's not an easy game. It's not an easy atmosphere by any means, but I think all those types of things come into the mix for us, realistically. Formation and lineup. This is an interesting one. I mean, Jurgen Klopp talked about legs in the last one. And I think he will be picking what he considers potentially, with that legs factor in mind, is his strongest lineup on Sunday. Again, could be wrong because he went a lot stronger last night than people thought. But here's what I think he will go with. I think he'll go Kelleher in nets, Bradley right back, same back five against City, BBD, Kwanzaa, Gomez. I'd understood if you trust them as well, because the only goal that was conceded versus City was that set-piece routine, wasn't it? Kwanzaa, I mean, he made me eat my words. I was nervous about him starting. I was terrified when Konate wasn't back. Brilliant, wasn't he? Absolutely sensational. So he's proven he's ready for that, easily ready for United away. Gomez at left-back. Andy Robbo played 90 minutes in the first leg and played 90 minutes in the second leg. Now, a lot of people have said this and say, oh, it's just about fitness. I don't think it is. I think this is the third choice captain and member of the senior member of the leadership group, because he goes obviously BBD, Trent, Robbo, being dropped. Not in the strongest 11 right now, on form. I don't think since he came back, Robbo's played particularly well. He doesn't carry that threat. He doesn't look as always as secure. He's been rash, running out, all things like that. I think this is a form basis. Now, I know there's probably Scotland fans shouting or saying all sorts of things, and I get that. It's an opinion. It's not like I'm dismissing his career or anything, but on form, it's understandable that Joe Gomez starts at left-back. Yeah, Foden skin him, I think, once, to be fair. He, you know, went into a bit of a wild thing. But overall, on the basis of form, people say that. It's like, well, so we're just ignoring what Robbo's done recently. It's balance. It's not all bad what Robbo's done, but on the balance of form, Joe Gomez at left back is where I think he will go. We'll have to see with that. I think if it is, it's quite a shot across the bow of Robbo at this stage as well. So we'll see. The midfield, I do not think is difficult to predict. Maka had the night off. He's going to start. Endo came off at half time. He's going to start. So Szoboszlai did play 90, but probably needed the rhythm, needed the minutes. And he scored in his last two, hasn't he? Now, this is the big one, because a lot of people are debating Elliot or Szoboszlai. And it would not surprise me either way, just to be clear. Harvey Elliott could argue well deserves the nod. He was brilliant against City. You know, he's putting himself, he's gone up a level. So I would be happy with either. I do think it will be Elliot, but Szoboszlai would not surprise me at all. So it's Szoboszlai or Elliot for that final spot. I think he will keep it with Harvey Elliott. Just a personal opinion, that's all. The front three, I don't think this is too difficult to sort of divide between. Salah, Nunes, Diaz. Diaz given the night off already after his unbelievable performance. Everything but the goal against City, wasn't it? Darwin scored again. Darwin was just Darwin last night. He showed us his full range. We saw an overhead kick that went wide. We saw an unbelievable volleyed pass right into Salah's path. We saw a side foot controlled finish into the bottom corner. We saw him make a great run, wait for Salah's cross right in front of the goal, and somehow sky it. We saw the full Darwin range last night. He starts 17 goals, 11 assists. It's not even a debate. And Mo Salah. Mo Salah is back. A goal and three assists. Bow to the king. A great reminder for everyone. 90 minutes, but as you say, Jurgen Klopp's told him to stop pressing. So there we go. And if you look at the subs bench, even if that is the lineup, there's still options there, isn't there? There'd be Szoboszlai or Elliot, depending on how I think that twists. There's Gakpo to come on. There's Robbo. There's still even Jadon Dans. A shame he didn't get on. I think that was probably a thing for people last night a little bit. I know I sort of skipped that section, but people may be a bit disappointed that a few kids didn't get more of a chance. Bobby Clark also scored, assisted. Fair play to him. So he will get an opportunity and a chance as well. Which leads us to score and scorers. I think this will be tight in a way. And I'm saying this, I'm going to be honest, I don't know. I think if it goes to full time, it goes to penalties, but I could be wrong. I don't generally know that if there would be a replay. The last thing Jurgen Klopp wants is a replay. There's zero doubt about that. They're not interested in it at all. So I'm going to go for 2-1, victory. And Mo Salah loves these games. We know that. He's got a great record in them. He loves these games. So a 2-1 victory. Mo Salah to score. Starting lineup of Kelleher, Bradley, VVD, Kwanzaa, Gomez, a midfield of Endo, Maka, and Elliot, and a front three of Salah, Nunes, Diaz. That is my team. I'm predicting a 2-1 victory. We only have to wait till Sunday to find out. It's St. Paddy's Day. To Slange, to all the Irish, or everyone's just out drinking for Paddy's Day as well. I'm sure many of you were. Let's hope it's a successful weekend for Liverpool as well. And that, ladies and gents, was another post-conference presser for Anfield Index.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.